Okay, so God is ready to move. And I want to tell you that God is interested in what you have to give. God is interested in where you're at the moment. He's interested at you playing rugby. He's interested in you bodyboarding. He's interested in you doing your exams. He's interested in you going wherever you go, studying or doing your business. He's interested because there are people that need that miracle, that need a touch from God. And what we believe God will do tonight is he's gonna touch you, and then you're going to touch people. Because that's just how it works. We were just touched over there in Sri Lanka, and we already started to give it away. Last week, we've seen miracles. We've seen demons, people being delivered from demons. Just the same things that happened in Sri Lanka is already happening here. So I want to come to you, and I want to charge you. Are you hungry for more of God? You can get as much of God as you want, but it's all determined by your hunger. So is jy honger, mense? Okay, there's actually food out there. We're going to feed you afterwards, but that's not going to be filling. That's only going to last for Luke, maybe. So he's already going out there. Look at that. Okay, so we just want to introduce you to a little bit of culture from Sri Lanka. If Quentin, can you do us, if you agree in Sri Lanka, this is what they do. What is that? Looks like a no to me, eh? Just do it again. There we go. Imagine you standing there in Decca and you just do that the whole time. I think you're going to have the whole party for yourself. Eh? That's amazing. So we walk in there, just arrived on the airport in Colombo. I walk through the gates and we're like, hey, we need to pay for our visas. And I only have my card. And I ask the guy behind the counter, hey, do you have a card facility? He says, I'm like, boys, they don't have a card facility. So then the American lady next to me like, they have a card facility. Because it's just so confusing, this whole head thing. And one thing that was just the Sinhalese language, the language they speak there, it's amazing. And there's a lot of Dutch influence. So many Afrikaans words in between, like room would, for instance, be kamer, sun would be buta, just the Dutch influence, which is very interesting. But the first word that we picked up from them was this word that all of them prayed the whole time, and it was the word haskam, and it means miracles. I'm like, what does it mean? That's the first word that I asked them, what does it mean? Haskam, it means miracles. That was after our first youth event that we did there, because they saw the miracles. They were praying about these miracles, asking and thanking God for these miracles that happened. So up there you'll see our team, and we just want to first of all, thank you for praying. We felt like superheroes on that side. Celine and Eugene was there before, and Johan was there before. You're like, and then you're like, wow, Gerrit and Lise also, they were also there. You're like, wow, this is amazing. But one of the things, that obviously the unity in the team and we stepping out in faith, that is one other reason that God just rewards that and rewards your faith. But also the people on the other side, people like you praying for us. So we want to thank you for that. And we felt like Daniel 11:32. It says, people that know their God will stand strong. We just felt strong all the time. We were standing strong all the time. And do mighty exploits in his name. We were normal. We were normal people. We're still normal people. But somehow, in our faith, God moved. And he, all these mighty exploits, all these mighty haskam were done through us. So I quickly want to give you an overview of what it did. Is arrived in Colombo. There, if you walked out of the airplane, this Colombo embraces you with humidity like 80% and 40 degrees Celsius. So we started in Colombo. We visited these small house churches. So this is a country of 22 million people. Only 1.2% are born again Christians. Only 1.2% are born again Christians. And then we visited these small houses. So the one pastor, he literally just put an afdak, what's it? A stoop. He just used a stoop. That's where he has his church. Small little 40-member church, and we did a couple of churches there, and it was amazing. And then we went down south. There, apparently they tell us that's the Buddhist stronghold. There was one guy that we met there, he said, Buddhists literally came and attacked his church, not the members, but just attacked his church. So you think Buddhists are all these loving, nice people. They attacked his church and destroyed his church. But they're making real inroads there. The crazy thing is that those people are so into Jesus. And so they, all of them have some, had an experience of God just touching their lives. So they just know that God exists and God will care for them. And then we went to Galavela, and that's the place that we're really feeling God's leading us to connect more often. 4 years now we've been involved there. And there's a team going at the end of September. So there's a clipboard that you can sign up if you want to go there. End of September, the last, I think from the 29th to the 9th of October, you're welcome to join. And that's Pastor Deva, the next slide. That's the pastor we're connecting with there. So for 4 years, we've been going to his church. And what he does is he plants small groups and eventually grows them into churches. So when we arrived there, they were like, wow, it's amazing. Last year, a team came, and from that team's miracles that happened through them at a specific place, they planted a small little church. Now, a church is not a big building like this. It's maybe a room in somebody's house, and then you just put in as many people in there as you can. And then they worship, and they just go out wild for Jesus. So we're connecting with them. And just to give you an example of what our meetings look like, the next slide is, so inside there, we're busy having a meeting. So this is a family in the middle of a Buddhist area. And what they do is they invite all their Buddhist friends. They tell them, hey, these South African people, they're going to pray for you. Whatever you need, our Jesus is strong. He's going to supply your need. So they arrive there, and they actually, the family sitting outside. That's the kitchen. So some of them are sitting in the kitchen. So we have a meeting in a room. Some of them are sitting in the kitchen. And then they're adding as we go on. Next slide. So just more people arrive the whole time because they're so hungry. If you've never heard of Jesus and suddenly there's somebody that's telling you that, hey, this God is not angry at you, actually wants to have a relationship with you, like you would respond to that. And we actually saw many miracles in this room. So I'm going to hand over to my team. They're going to share testimonies just of what God has done, miracles and things that happened.
Hi guys, my name is Clyde. I'm honored to be here. I'm just blessed to be here. I've got very little time, so I'll speak very fast, so you can talk to me afterwards if you didn't catch it. We started the Sunday, and Amu decided that we will preach as well. So I've preached for Sunday school children about 20 years ago, so it was quite a challenge. And then Amu says we'll split into three groups, so myself and Johan Stein. We went to the one church. And worship was alive. The presence of God was there. Those people are just brilliant in bringing and ushering in the presence of God. And we started, and Johan started preaching. And the first person was a drug addict that came out for an altar call. And while Johan was laying his hands on him, I was standing behind. He started praying, and I wasn't ready. The guy was slain, and I was also almost slain. And then it started. We stopped counting around 50 people. Miracles happened. People were released of back pains, headaches. One specific lady was a Buddhist. She was attending church, and she was very worried that her husband is going to find out that she's going to church. And she had a pain in her stomach, and we prayed for her. She received healing, and then she was slain in the spirit. And she prayed in tongues, and she started dancing and a tongue. And then when she came through again, we asked her, can she please tell us her experience? And then she said while she was slain in the spirit, she saw flames, columns over our heads, and she was grabbing it. And she was speaking in tongues like never before. And then the miracle started. I've, in my 40 years of life, I've just had two miracles. One, my father being resurrected from the dead, and my brother was healed through cancer. He had cancer, and that went over time. So I had only two on my chip. And that Sunday, I ended up with more than 50 between me and Johan. So that was really blessed. And then we prayed for deaf to hear, blind to see, a woman that only can see the front side of the Bible, and when she opened the Bible, she could see through that one eye that we prayed for. And then one that also touched me was a lady that was also a Buddhist. She was slain for about 5-10 minutes, and then she came to the church again on Sunday. And then she said she's got a slight pain, and they want to be pregnant. Prayed for her, and then there was deliverance. There was a demon that manifested, and then she went into tongues, and after that, there was just peace and joy. So there's so many stories that I can share, but the ones that stood out, I brought to you now. But it was just awesome. We were just 6 normal men. We went out in faith, and we trusted God. There were times when there was no healing. Then we would just step back and say, God, this is your job. It's not mine. I'm just a vessel. You repent, and then the healing starts again. So I just want to bless you with that. Am I still in time? Oh, yes. Then I came back to South Africa, and then I said, okay, I'm coming with that anointing. What do we do now? So I'm at a workshop at Lord Charles, and my colleague, she looked very down, and I spoke to her, and I said, what's wrong? She said she's at a crossroads. She needs to make a decision. She needs, according to the doctor, she needs to do an hysterectomy. She's 29 years old. She's divorced. She's got one daughter. She wants to marry again. And obviously, once you have a hysterectomy, you can't have children. And I said, look, can I pray for you? She knows God. And just before the morning, her appointment was 11 o'clock at MediClinic. And I said, 10 o'clock, we need to break away and just go into a room somewhere and pray. I prayed for her, and God showed me a few things. There was generational curses. There was bitterness. There was sadness about the divorce, etc. And she just broke before God. And then I laid my hands on her womb, and she felt a warmness. Then she told me, then she went to the doctor. I said, please let me know, because I set my faith out here, so I'm on the spot. My reputation. Then I didn't see her call while we were in session, and she came the afternoon, and she came to me, and I thought, okay, is this now bad news or good news? And God just came through. She told me in 2008, when she gave birth to her daughter, they took pictures of the cysts on her ovaries. And when she went for the MRI scan, on those areas where the cysts were, it became red, and then it disappeared. And then the doctor did another scan, a full scan. The cysts are gone. She's got no pain. So God came through. I grabbed her there. We were in a venue where there was tea served. And I just grabbed her, and I was just so overjoyed. And I'm just saying what we can do in Sri Lanka, that same anointing is here. And each one of you can do it. Amen.
Hello, guys. Yes, yes. Where's Luke? Yes, it's English. I'm a down-to-earth, normal guy. Nothing special about me, no ministry background. Yes, thanks. One day before a few weeks before the Sri Lanka trip, myself, Johan, and what's the other guy's name again? Juan, sorry. We were out in the mountains. We went to a waterfall, and in my quiet time there, I just received that God told me to step out in faith, and He will reward me. And I stayed obedient, and on our way back from the waterfall, also meditating in my mind, like, okay, Lord, where must I step out in faith? Sri Lanka came up, and I told Almo, and he said, okay, but then we must make a plan. We are going. And then I was like, okay, Johan told me a lot about Sri Lanka. Lise and Gerard told me a lot about Sri Lanka. Lynn told me a lot about Sri Lanka. And a lot of miracles happens there. And I made this whole checklist of, okay, God, you're sending me here. I don't have any experience. I want this stuff. I want visions. I want miracles. I want tangible miracles. And the end of the second day, God ticked all the boxes. Like, all the boxes. I'm just quickly going to, I'm going to speed up a bit and just say a few stuff that happened. It was this one old lady, her hand couldn't close, her hand like stopped here. I took my full force, she's an old lady, so yeah, I took my full force and I couldn't close her hand. And yeah, and just as I started praying, her hand just like, bam, went closed. That was one. And then early the next morning, we had about three, four services a day. It was a girl that had small in God's eyes, demon inside of her. And she was actually the first girl that I prayed for. And man, as I laid my hand on her, like, she felt, she was like, lights out on the floor, and I'm like still praying there. I'm like, okay, what the hell happened now? And okay, I give it over to the Holy Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit, you can minister and so forth. And then later on, like a few of the other guys was also praying for her. And then later on, Armour came and Armour just took control of the situation and like demanded the demon to leave the body. And it was quite a learning curve for I will say for the other five of us, the rest of the team. And then as we were driving to the second service, I was just thinking in my head, Lord, yes, that was a demon that like he took Amu. None of us, like we prayed and prayed and prayed, but Amu had to come and take control of it, and that demon passed out because of me. And then, by the next service, there was this small girl. She came to me and, like, she's got this hurt in her arm. And I'm on this spiritual high now. That flipping demon passed out because of me. And I'm on this spiritual high. And, like, she comes and she says, like, her arm is hurting. And I go on my knees and she put her arm in my hand. And as she put her arm in my hand, her arm shakes. Like, there was a... like, I don't know what's the English word for that, but that was so rukking geweest. Yeah, and then I already knew, okay, she's healed already. But I carried it on and I prayed. And then just, like, while I was praying, I just thought the whole time, like, yeah, Lord, way to bring me down from my spiritual high now. Like, telling me you must have faith like a child. That girl was healed in her own faith. Not by my faith. She was healed in her own faith. Yeah, there was a woman that couldn't hear at all. Like the translator had to like scream at her ear for her to hear. And I laid her hands on her ear, in her ears, and I just did this, and like, she ears went open. There was two people. Like the legs were like this far, the one leg longer than the other leg, and like praying. And then you see like, oh man, I was sitting there and we're like, we pray, all of us pray, and then like we stop praying, open our eyes, and we're like, okay, there it goes. Okay, well, it's done. Like, tangibly before your eyes. People, there was this one old lady, Amu prayed for her, actually. He didn't mention this now, and she couldn't read in the Bible. And then, like, after he prayed, she's not looking around, she's like directly grabbing the Bible she want to read, and she starts reading and just embracing Amu. And I just want to encourage you guys, actually. I'm a normal guy and I had no experience. And if you want to massively grow your spirit or take a leap with your spirit, take that leap of faith and of step out in faith, go on these missions. Local, internationally, whatever. Just step out of faith and do it and grow in the authority.
Yes, because of Quentin's long intro, I'm going to only tell you about two testimonies. Yeah, I'm just another average guy that before I got saved and everything, you know, I couldn't even say that I heard or know about somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that did a miracle. So this was quite a step out in faith. It was a first time on an outreach even and then to Sri Lanka as well. So yeah, the great thing is that as we came together and prepared, we all had a great expectation that the Holy Spirit will just manifest awesome in His power. And He came through. That's what He does with His faith. One of the ladies I prayed for, she had like in her left hand a growth there, and she couldn't open her hand. There was a bit of like a growth in the palm of her hand. The first time I prayed for her, she said she... asked, you know, with translate, there's a bit of difficulty in that. So if you want to know if they healed, you just go like this, and they will go like this, and you say, okay, praise the Lord. And as I prayed for her, I went like this, and she said, yep, and she went. Later on, I saw her with a friend, and I saw the friend touch her hand, and I saw her just fringing pain and just pain on her face. And I went to her and I said, no, let's pray again. So what I did is I just took both my hands and I wrapped it around her wrist and I started praying. And as I prayed for her, I felt the tendons starting to move underneath my hands. And there was like a crocolator going on there. And you know, just like I just had to concentrate to keep on praying, just not to stare at her hand what's going on here, because it was a first. But what's so amazing about this, after I've prayed for her, she went like this, but the unbelief on her face was so great to see that she didn't for once think, actually, that the prayer is going to work and come through, God's going to come through. So she went like this, and then she looked at me, and I said, yes, it's working. So, amen. The other thing there, at one of the churches, a mother came forward with a Down syndrome daughter, about 16 years probably old, and she couldn't speak. She was mute. So a couple of us laid hands on her, we anointed her, and we started praying over her. And what was so great is that spontaneously, this girl that is mute lifted her hands in the air and started praying in tongues. She prayed in tongues. Her mother was also standing there. She was just astonished, and she said she's never heard it before. So that's just how powerfully the Holy Spirit works. And afterwards, she had some utterance better than she had before. So we just told the mother to keep on praying that the Lord will come through for her. So that's my two testimonies there. There were lots more. Maybe just what I can share is that a lot of Hindu and Buddhist people came to us. And what was so great is that these people, although they were Hindus and Buddhists and not saved Christians, they had an expectation that something's going to happen. And what was so awesome, you basically started stretching out your hand towards them, and they were slain in the spirit. They did some carpet time. So, yeah, that was just so amazing. They were so hungry and just so open for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So, tonight then, it's my privilege to share with you a sermon on healing. It's something that I've heard about a lot, and lately I've experienced it a lot, and it's something that's very close to my heart. It's something that in my previous life that always bugged me is why does miracles start in Genesis and end in Revelation? But today I can testify and glorify God that it's not so. That it still happens, and even more. Yeah. So, just to start off, who wants to be healed? Amen. And who wants to be a healer? Yes, amen. Thank you. That's a start. Now, in Matthew 8, verse 17, or just 8, verse 16, we read that Jesus performed some healing miracles there to a lot of people there that followed him. And then in 8 verse 17, Matthew 8 verse 17, we read that, "And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases." So that's where it started. And in the book of Matthew alone, there are 16 witnesses of Jesus doing healing miracles and healing. I'm not talking about water and wine and all of that, just about healing. So sometimes it was only one person at a time, and sometimes it was like a crowd that followed him, he healed them. So we can all go like this: Jesus has got the healing anointing on him, yes. Then Matthew 10 verse 1. Matthew 10 verse 1, we find the great commission of Jesus Christ, where he sent his disciples into the world to spread the gospel, to heal the sick, and to drive out demons. So he gave them the authority, he gave them instruction, and then he gave them the authority to do these things. And then if we read further in Matthew 10 verse 7 to 8, and Jesus said to them, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely you must give." So that instruction is just the same for us today. If we've received that instruction and we receive the power and authority from Jesus Christ. So there's no excuse for us to quench the Holy Spirit. In Mark 16 verse 17, this is Jesus now, Jesus saying, "And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will get well." That is Jesus. Now, what we read there is that Jesus saying, these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. Those who believe. Not these disciples, not them, but those who believe. So that is you and me. If we gave our heart to Jesus and we became believers, we've got the kingdom in us, the Holy Spirit. We've got the power. Yeah, can we all agree that we serve a God of the impossible? A God of the impossible, not a mediocre God. And we are his children, so we don't have to be mediocre. We can also do the impossible, or what seems like the impossible for those that are not enlightened. In Luke 1 verse 36, we find that, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible to fulfill." So this is just affirming what Jesus also said, that when he gave that promise that testing signs will follow those who believe, what God is saying is, that is not a lie, that is truth. But then, John 14 verse 12. John 14 verse 12 is to me like just the promise of all promises to those who want to imitate Jesus in his supernatural walk on the earth. John 14, verse 12 says, I assure you, and this is Jesus speaking, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do. And he will even do greater things because I go to the Father. Now, that is just profound. That is just so, I think, you know, even if you go and sit still for a while, it's difficult for our human puny minds to grasp what Jesus is saying here. If you think what Jesus did, Jesus raised the dead. He healed infirmities. He healed all kinds of diseases. He drove out demons. All of those great things. And here he says that we will do the same things if we steadfastly believe. There's again that requirement, faith. Faith. That is the only requirement that he requires. We need to have faith, and then we will do the same. But now Jesus go on and say, we will even do more, because Jesus had just 3 years to do all these healings and miracles. But we have a lot longer time to do all of these things. So we will do more if we have faith, and if we step out in faith, and if we follow the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so the kingdom is at hand. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. That's what I'm saying today. The kingdom is at hand. It's in your heart. It's in my heart. It's in the person's next to you's heart. It's around us. That is the Holy Spirit. He's in here today. He's ready to serve. He just wants us to step out in faith, and he will show himself. In Matthew 6, verse 9, just the first part of the Lord's Prayer we find there. That's when Jesus taught disciples how to pray. He said, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So, looking forward to that great day when we all go to heaven, I can honestly promise you that you will not find sickness and disease there. Amen. You will not find broken bodies and infirmities there. Amen. There will be no Satan, no demon, no demonic influence, because heaven is pure and perfect. That is God's will. It's pure and perfect. Now, Jesus says that as perfect as it is in heaven, so be it on the earth. So we're not supposed to suffer from sickness. We're not supposed to suffer from afflictions and demonic influence and broken bodies and broken hearts. If we suffer from that, that is because we allow it. We allow it. Quenching the Holy Spirit. So greater is he that is in us than him that is in the world. Amen. Oh, amen. So sickness is to the body what sin is to the soul. God's perfect will for us is to be healthy. He gave us the authority. He gave us his Holy Spirit. That is the same Spirit when our bodies are going to be resurrected, that's going to give us new bodies. That is the power. So, let's use that power. Amen. Thank you. Now, this great team that I had the privilege to go to Sri Lanka with will come forward, and they will share a word of knowledge with you, and then all the people who wants to be prayed for sickness, for healing, for just blessing, infillment with the Holy Spirit, just come forward. Don't be shy. This is a divine appointment today.
Down to earth. As we're standing here now, there's someone in here that while we were standing here, you asked God, God, are you hearing my prayers? If you are here, please come forward to me whenever we are praying now. I just feel that God says that He is hearing your prayers, and you must come. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what it is for. I just felt that there's someone here that's asking God on this minute, like, God, why aren't you hearing? So, yeah.
While Tracy comes up. Okay, I want us to stand.